Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
The Health Information and Quality Authority, or HICWA, has expressed significant concern over children living in unregulated special accommodation arrangements. Well, HICWA has today released a new report detailing its monitoring of children's services over the last 10 years. Eva Boyle is HICWA's Head of Programme for Children's Services, and she joins me now. Eva, you're very welcome to the programme. Can I ask you straight off the bat, you're expressing significant concern over children living in unregulated special accommodation arrangements. What exactly is that, though?
Cormac, these arrangements are, they can be a rented house, they can be a hotel room that TUSLA puts in place on an emergency basis for a child who they don't have a foster care placement or residential placement for. These arrangements can occur short term for a day or two, or can go on for a number of months. These arrangements aren't regulated. What I mean by that is that HICWA have no ability to monitor these services or go into them. They tend to be staffed by agency staff as well.
Right. So let's say, let's say in a situation where a child up to the age of 18, is that right? So how
That's
young
correct.
Could we be talking about here?
Well, certainly, as I say, we don't enter these premises, but we have unsolicited information that would say that there are children under the age of 10 on occasions in these arrangements.
Really? In hotel rooms?
In hotel rooms or in rented accommodation.
So with agency staff, is that it?
Primarily, my understanding is it would be agency staff or TUSLA may make arrangements or have contracted an agency in. So it means that there can be different staff coming and going.
A different person every day or every couple of days.
Yeah, and that would be, I suppose, that would be similar to residential care, but in residential care, you would have a consistent team working with the child who would know the child, know their care plan, and have focused work to do with the child.
It must be extremely frightening, even as a situation for a child younger than 10, to be suddenly to find themselves in a hotel room that they've never been in before with someone they've never met before. But what kind of a situation might they be coming from, though?
Well, I think it's also very important to point out, Cormac, that in order for a social worker to make that situation, they're doing that generally in a situation where there's no alternative. And they have balanced that with the safety of the child if they remained in the situation they were in versus having to put this arrangement in place. So there's a balancing act there that the social worker and a judgment call that they have to make based on the risk that the child would be at.
Mm-hmm.
So some of those situations would be where a child perhaps would be serious risk of neglect, physical abuse. They've had their assessment, but they can be cared for outside of the family home or need to be cared for outside of the family home.
Okay.
I should say.
But in this review, you're looking back at the last 10 years of children's services and you're monitoring demand and monitoring allocation of services and so on. And I know there's increased demand, but you also document, don't you, a number of serious incidents involving children in care over the years, from allegations of abuse to unexplained absences to even death in care. Isn't that correct?
We do indeed. I suppose over the last 10 years, there's been a significant increase in the number of referrals to TUSLA. They've more than doubled over the last 10 years from about just over 43,000 referrals back in 2014 to just under 92,000 referrals in 2023. You're quite right to point out that we get notified of serious incidences and deaths. And last year, for example, we would have had about 24 serious incidents and 30 deaths which were notified to us.
30 deaths.
Okay. Yes. And these are very tragic circumstances for some. They're all tragic circumstances in terms of serious incident or death, of course. But some children die of natural causes, and others, unfortunately, have left the care system and have found themselves in challenging circumstances, perhaps from a health or mental health situation.
They're all tragic, as you say. But of the 24 serious incidents, what kind of incidents do you mean?
So that could have resulted in involved in a criminal act or a serious injury to a child. That could be something that was inflicted to them or by others inflicted on them. There's a range. Those children, I suppose, we would risk rate that information that comes into us. And TUSLA would also send a lot of these cases for review to the National Review Panel, which would be a separate review mechanism to HICWA. Yeah. And they would independently review those cases and make recommendations based on the information.
These are really vulnerable children we're talking about here. And you're saying in this report that many children either weren't allocated social workers or else experienced multiple changes in social workers over a short period of time, as you explained to us.
Yes, what we're finding is that TUSLA have a significant issue in relation to the recruitment and retention of staff, and that's despite their best efforts. This is not a situation that is unique to Ireland. We are in full employment, and working in child protection and welfare is very challenging work. And also there are other state agencies also recruiting. However, it is crucially important that a young person and a child has a trusted adult that they can work with. And children consistently down through the years, and we've documented in our report today, say that they need one worker who's consistent, who they can trust, who they can tell their story to, who can work with them. TUSLA have had to make arrangements such as using other disciplines of staff, such as social care staff, to supplement services and to do tasks that traditionally would have been done by social workers. And many of these arrangements are working well, but they also, traditionally social care staff would predominantly work in residential care, so there's a pull of staff from residential care into services in the community. And that obviously has a knock-on effect in terms of resourcing residential services.
Stay with me, Eva Boyle of HICWA, for a moment. I'm joined by Dr. Carol Coulter as well, former Executive Director of the Child Law Project. You're very welcome, Carol, to the programme. I have a statement.
Thank you very much.
I have a statement from TUSLA in my hand as well, and they welcome the findings from HICWA. They have noted in the last 2 years, especially the rise in demand for their various services. And they say that efforts are made to move young people from special emergency arrangements to regulated settings as soon as possible. And I have the Department of Children's statement as well. They note the many positive findings in the HICWA's report. They say they do acknowledge or note that not all findings were positive. And they say a special emergency arrangement, or SEA, is only used, which is what we're discussing, only used when no residential care or foster care placement is available. My question to you, Carol, though, is it is no wonder, in a way, reading the HICWA report, why judges are in despair over the system of care for children in Ireland.
No, well, I mean, you know, I greatly welcome the report, and it's good that it's emerged. It's by no means the first HICWA report on this issue. And really, there isn't a lot in it that is not already known, particularly to, indeed, as the department acknowledges and TUSLA acknowledges. I mean, we published a report just last month looking at the last 3 years of our court reports. Mm-hmm. And again, the issue of appropriate placements came up. It's something that happens in court. It's something that the judges have been very concerned about, to the extent that a very unusual step was taken in May 2023 by a judge of the district court who hears childcare proceedings. That's Judge Dermot Sims, since retired, who wrote to the Taoiseach, the Minister for Children, to the Children's Ombudsman, to a range of people in relation to a particular case where he was extremely concerned about the lack of an appropriate placement for this child, but not just that child. He said that he had the utmost concern for the immediate predicament and welfare of children who were in care, drawing attention to the placement of children in unsuitable special emergency residential placements, and called for immediate and coordinated action to remedy the current crisis. And in that letter, he actually warned that the state could face claims in the future arising out of his failure to comply adequately with his duty of care and strategy duty to many of those children. Now, that's over, you know, nearly a year and a half ago. Yeah.
And that's a genuine concern as well.
The then Taoiseach Bradker said at the time, it is new to the government, in the sense we've had discussions at cabinet subcommittee meetings in recent months around the whole issue of children who are in care and they need a lot of help. So, you know, this has been rumbling along for really quite a long time. As long ago as 2013, the Ombudsman for Children pointed out that there was a lack of an overarching plan for the care of children who are in state care, ranging from foster care right up to special care where children are detained because their behaviour and their needs are very,
so the
very
point
extreme.
You're making very eloquently, Carol, is that this has been known, this problem, this challenge is known about in official circles and at government level for quite some time. But let me put to you.
And meanwhile, you know, the particularly in the area of residential care, what has happened is that the for-profit sector has been providing a growing proportion, it's now the vast majority of care placements, including unregulated care placements. And, you know, that's extremely expensive. It's not necessarily leading to the best outcomes for children. Mm-hmm. Some of the things that we saw from some of these placements were was a child who both of whose parents were in prison. She was in one of these placements and was the placement was terminated by the provider who put her belongings in a black plastic bag and she found them there when she came home from school and was told that she had to go elsewhere. So this is, of course, only a very small minority. We are a lot of children, and I really do, you know, want to emphasise this. I think it's very important to say Ireland has a very proud record of having a high proportion of children in care in foster care, where they're very well looked after, and where there's, you know, an army of wonderful foster parents.
But it's the minority, in a way, we're discussing here that Hick was pointing to. Can I? And you point to some of the challenges, but in the department statement, they say to us that TUSLA is working to reduce reliance on SEAs or the special emergency arrangement. And they say TUSLA is making progress in this regard.
Well, I mean, you know, we have been hearing about this for some time, and I've no doubt they're trying. I know that they are struggling with this, but this is something which is not just an issue for TUSLA. And I think it's a bit unfair that TUSLA are the only people being asked, in a sense, to look after it. The provision of care, particularly for very vulnerable children who might have very complex needs, be they disabilities, behavioural issues, mental health issues, and very often a history of terrible trauma, that requires very specialised care, and it requires specialised staff who need to be adequately recompensed for what can be very challenging work and sometimes quite dangerous work.
Okay. Well, look,
and as I understand it, TUSLA has failed to get approval from the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform to give it the kind of resources it needs to incentivise people to enter that very challenging area of work.
Okay.
And that's one of the reasons why we have the crisis we have at the moment.
Well, this is something obviously which is let me say this. This is something which is very, very complex of course, and we're definitely going to come back to this on this programme over the coming days. But the department do say that TUSLA's strategic plan on residential care outlines plans for increased residential care capacity over the 22 to 25 period, and that the Minister for Children has allocated additional funding to TUSLA in Budget 25 to maintain and expand its services. But that question you've raised, we'll certainly come back to. Very briefly,
yeah,
Carol?
I'd like to make one small point just before you close on this. What hasn't been mentioned here is the voluntary sector, which is not for profit and which requires support to do the wonderful work that a small number of organisations have been doing on a not-for-profit basis, who cost far less than the commercial sector. And they have been struggling for ages now to get agreements from TUSLA to give them the kind of support that's needed to not only provide the service, but to expand. Many of those organisations are prepared to expand the service that they have if only they would get the support they need from TUSLA.
We'll definitely come back to it, as I say. Dr. Carol Coulter, thank you very much indeed. And beforehand, Eva Boyle from HICWA, thank you as well.